there's a lot of fear in listening to God. And that's why there are faith communities that kind of give one person this exalted position of listening, and everyone else gets to kind of be sheltered from that, almost like Moses going up to the top of the mountain and being the one to interact with God. So all the rest of us can cower in fear at the base of the mountain. But we're just continually given this perspective in Scripture of a God who communicates with people, that God speaks in manifold ways. And I think that so much of the adventure and the exhilaration and the excitement of living the Christian life is about communicating with God, and not only speaking to God, but hearing from God. And so I just think it's important that we first acknowledge that God speaks, that God continues to speak. God just didn't speak once and stop, but now God continues to speak to us. But then we have to be aware of, well, how do we filter? How do we interpret what we hear, and kind of what filters do we run that through?
Say more about what some of those should be. Because, Brother Lawrence would say we practice the presence of God. I mean, I think one of the early mystics, God speaks in the pots and pans. I mean, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to go to a special place necessarily, or, don't have to burn incense or any of those things.
Absolutely. And that's really at the heart of listening, is that it happens in all of the mundane and everyday activities of life, and that we don't have to make a pilgrimage to the top of the mountain in order to believe that God speaks, but that God is speaking to us now in our everyday lives. But, I mean, there's been some filters that theologians throughout the generations have kind of put in place, and I very much agree with them. The first one has to do is something that I hear from God, is that something that's consistent with Scripture? Something consistent with not only one Scripture, but with kind of the whole tenor of Scripture, particularly the Christ story. Is what I'm hearing, does that sound like the God that we meet in the Scriptures? Does that sound like the voice of Jesus Christ? Is that consistent with God's character that we see in the Scriptures? And I think that's probably the most foundational filter. But then it's one thing to hear things from God alone. It's another thing to bring that to the accountability of community. So other people must be part of your acts of listening to God. People who are part of communities of faith, and bringing them into the conversation as like a check and balance sort of a thing, and hearing what they have to say. I believe God not only speaks to us as individuals, but God speaks through groups. And I tell a story in the book of a friend of mine named Kathy who wanted to become a missionary to Ireland, and she heard this voice from God, and of course that sounded like something that God would speak, and of course that was consistent with the Scriptures. But then she brought it to her community of people, and she's a Quaker, so they have this thing called a listening community, which I think is fascinating, where basically you sit in a group of people and you tell them, hey, here's what God is saying to me, and the other people are only allowed to ask questions. They're not allowed to give advice, but they just ask questions, and then listen to what Kathy had to say. And then just through that process of just asking questions, she became convinced that God was calling her to wait on leaving for Ireland, and she ended up waiting a few years for some other things in her life to kind of happen before she did that. But the point is, she brought it to a community of people who were intent on listening to her.
In the book, you say that, we can't always listen to others well if we haven't first listened to ourselves. So talk about listening to ourselves and maybe dealing with the self-talk that runs through our minds all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important, and I have a chapter called Listening to Your Life in the book, and I think it's important for us to pay attention to what's happening inside of us. I think sometimes we think that the proper way to be a Christian is to try and forget about ourselves and just to focus all of our attention outside of us. And I understand why people say that, but I do think that we've been given kind of indicators of the state of our soul, that we have emotions that we need to pay attention to, that we have impulses that we need to pay attention to, and that we are attracted to certain things and repelled from other things, and we find certain things uplifting and other things discouraging. And those are just movements in our soul that we need to pay attention to. And until we're capable of doing that within our own selves, it's going to be very challenging to be able to help other people to pay attention to what's happening inside of them. And I do believe that the movements in our souls is one of the key ways that God speaks to us, that tells us who we are and tells us what our passions are and what our vocations are.
Talking about the listening life, embracing attentiveness in a world of distraction. And Adam, we skipped past it, but I want to just wrap up our conversation with maybe a word about the Creator and sort of the song of creation, that there is, as Psalm 19 says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. There's no place where that message isn't going out. Say a word about the creation and how it speaks to us and how we could maybe be more attentive to that.
Absolutely. And probably my favorite chapter in the book is called Listening to Creation. And I started it with C.S. Lewis, and some other people have often wondered if the first chapter of Genesis is the appropriate genre for understanding that. It's song. It's very poetic. There's a lot of refrains. There's repeated measures. There's a cadence to it. And C.S. Lewis, I think actually through the character of Aslan, the lion, said, what if this is song? What if God sang the creation into existence? And what if God is still singing through the creation? And how can we avail ourselves of that song and hear that creation song? And so I have a whole chapter devoted to that. And my favorite section in there is called The Spiritual Discipline of the Long Walk. And I think the long walk is something that we can practice no matter where we are. We don't have to walk out into the middle of the wilderness in order to hear God's voice. But the idea is that I can take a walk through my neighborhood and notice the small things that are happening in the environment and in the animal kingdom around me, and notice how God is speaking.
Obviously, we want to be looking in God's Word, right? Because that's where He is communicated most clearly and effectively. So how do we get the most out of God's Word? Because sometimes reading through it doesn't seem to speak to us some days.
Yeah, and there are some interpretive strategies that are at use in the church that I don't always think are the most honoring of the Scriptures. I don't think our point in reading some of the stories in the Old and New Testaments is to extract a principle out of those stories. I don't think we read, for example, the story of David and Goliath and then pull out that principle of God sides with the little guy or with the underdog, and then we just take that principle and try and apply that to our lives. I think the better way to read some of these scriptures is to try and get into the scripture, into the story as much as possible, and not to try and pull things out of it, but to imagine yourself in the narrative of the scriptures themselves. And there's a few tools for doing that. There's an ancient practice called Lectio Divina, which acknowledges that every jot and tittle of the scriptures is inspired by God, and that God didn't just speak those one time thousands of years ago, but that God is continuing to speak them now. And so I'm going to try and present all of myself emotionally, intellectually, spiritually into these scriptures, and I'm going to listen for a word or a phrase or something that really seems to leap out at me, that really seems to be something that's being spoken into my soul, and I'm going to sit with that story. I'm going to read the scripture over and over and over again, and I'm going to let that really speak clearly to me and pay attention to what, you know, kind of what makes my heart sing, what makes my heart exult. And then there's another way of reading the scriptures that's based on the spirituality of Ignatius of Loyola, who was the founder of the Jesuits in the 1500s. He says, well, let's read a story. Let's just specifically start with a story of Jesus in the Gospels. And instead of just trying to read it as a detached observer, let's imagine ourselves in the story. What if I were a fly on the wall as Jesus interacts with the rich man, or as Jesus heals the demoniac? What if I were a fly on the wall, or what if I was even a character? Is there a character that I relate to, and can I smell the dirt? Can I feel the heat of the desert sun? And you're trying to imaginatively find yourself in the midst of that story. So I really like the idea of kind of getting into the scriptures rather than pulling principles out of the scriptures.
I know you even make it as a habit. You call it the Samuel Prayer. It's a good way to start the day. Just, I think we are probably familiar with what Samuel said as a young boy, but just say a word about that.
Yeah. So basically in the book of 1 Samuel, when Eli the priest has a pupil named Samuel, and Samuel keeps hearing this voice saying, "Hello, Samuel," and he thinks it's Eli. And so he keeps going over, and then Eli says, "No, that's not me. That's God speaking. So next time that happens, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" That's what Samuel says. And I thought, well, what if that could be kind of my daily prayer? What if that was one of the rituals and the anchors that I could hold on to and say that repeatedly throughout the day? "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And that has this way of focusing my attention. I say that repeatedly throughout the day, definitely when I first wake up in the morning. It has a way of focusing my day, focusing my attention. And even though I'm going through the everyday rituals that I always do and doing the work that I always do, it just has this way of helping me cultivate awareness that God is present, that God is speaking, that God is interested in what I'm doing.